each and every one of you here right now in today's service. I'm so glad to see each and every one of my people, my family. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm kind of excited about this sermon that I have today. It's really kind of dropped in my spirit, so I really want to share it with you. And I'm thinking that God is going to really be great in it. I just want to kind of want to preach it till my hair come back. I don't know if that's going to happen, but we're going to see. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. I do feel that way, kind of, Keisha. I do feel that on me. But anyway, we just going to go ahead on anyway. But if you can, I want you to turn with me to a few scriptures. We're going to go here, and we're going to just kind of talk about a few different things. But we're going to go to Daniel, the third chapter, first through the 23rd verse. And this is a scripture that we've talked about many times before. Scripture that we've talked about many times before. Scripture that we have talked about, did different things about many times before. But this is going to be something that I want us to resonate in our spirit. And the title of my sermon today, before we get into this scripture, the title of my sermon today is that we shall be fine. We shall be fine. Say it again. We shall be fine. Give an honor to my wife and each and every one of you in your respective places. So glad to see each and every one of you, and all my children, and all God's children, all of us here together. Even little Deke over there being crunchy, but it's okay though. It's all right. God bless him. God bless you all. Amen. So Daniel, the third chapter, starting from the first verse, 23rd verse. We're going to read a little bit of this scripture, and then we're going to go on a little further. So Daniel, the first verse says, in the third chapter, it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors. Did I read that already? Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm going to fourth. Then Herod cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Number five, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Six, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Eighth verse. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And 11, and whoso faileth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Number 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Know if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I'm going to read that one more time. He asked him, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I need you to look at somebody and just tell them, like I said before, we shall.
We shall.
We shall.
We shall.
Be fine.
Be fine.
All right. I'm going to read a little further. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And this is the one that I like that is resonating in my heart. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was so urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, that the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. We shall be fine. It is interesting that many times it's our nature to worry about different things that we are about to experience. You know, and so when certain situations come in our lives, when certain changes or challenges come, or certain things that we have to deal with in our lives, when they come up, we get some kind of way about certain things. We feel some kind of way, like, you know, when, for me, when Christmas time come up, because of the money that you have to spend, you're like, I ain't feeling Christmas too much, or, you know, all these different things, right? Or when something great comes where you have to, you know, pay your taxes or do certain things, whatever it may be. I would say, case in point, you know, we're getting ready right now to get our kids ready for school, right? And so, you know, I'm constantly reminded about, you know, the time frame when, you know, when Jada was you know, she was, you know, getting ready to go to her first day of kindergarten, you know, and, you know, don't judge me, you know, I was a new dad, you know, still a new dad, still learning, you know. So it seemed to be such a great task. And what I mean by that is it wasn't really a task of getting her prepared for it, but it was just the concept of getting really to get ready to realize that I got to let my little baby go to these wolves. Maybe I'm the only one that felt that way. I might have been. I don't know. But I felt like, hey, okay, you know, I got to know. See, they don't know Jada like I know Jada. Like, we know Jada. See, y'all know Jada. See, y'all know how Jada is, right? I'm just saying. And she right there. Don't you look at that. She's going to get me later on. But I'm preaching on Jada. But I'm not preaching on Jada. But pray to God bless you, baby. Look at you. It's so good to see you. Amen. But it's like, you know, I know my daughter. Like, you know, they don't know my daughter. Like, I know my daughter. It's like, you know, your sons. Like, they don't know my sons. Like, I know my sons, right? My sons or my daughters, they're good-hearted people. They're good-hearted individuals. And these people don't understand that, you know, that this girl has a precious heart. You know, are they going to take care of her when, you know, when she cry, you know, because this girl that has a face full of joy, you know, is she going to be taken care of when something happens, like she gets a boo-boo? Is that somebody that's going to be there to kiss it? Is there somebody that's going to, you know, be there to kind of make sure that she's okay, to make sure that, you know, she got, got everything together like she need to, you know, because it's still my baby girl, you know, it's still my little baby, you know, I'm still holding her, you know, I'm just like I remember, you know, sleeping and rocking with her and everything like that. That when she feel like she getting sleepy, when they put her on her shoulder and rock her like this, you know. Nah, you know, or you know, I'm worried because of the fact when they treat her like that little heifer did at when she was born, you know, that little heifer nurse, you know, took the baby and just scattered and ripped around and did all this stuff.